technology, the enemy of sociability. That's a pretty well-rehearsed argument, is it not? Here's an alternative. How about technology that might improve our interpersonal relationships, might bring us together? Now, this is really interesting work. A team of virtual reality designers using that technology to encourage greater diversity in the workplace. Whack on these goggles and gain an insight into attitudes that can hinder creativity and productivity. Rick Martin is a co-founder of Equal Reality. Rick, hi.
Hi, Jonathan.
And another angle to this conversation, Simon Lowe. He's co-founder of The Aging Revolution. Now, that body works with companies to change their attitudes towards older workers. And I think, Simon, we're going to bring these two worlds together.
I hope so. Hello.
Rick, your company, Equal Reality, using virtual reality to explore human relationships. Tell us how that's done.
Okay, so we're building virtual reality simulations, and we're focusing on the social interactions in the workplace we've started with, and we're looking at unconscious bias, and we're creating simulations to replicate those interactions that you might have that can bias or exclude others in the workplace. Okay. And we want to teach people through experiential learning in a new and creative way, which hasn't been possible to be able to do before.
Well, experiential, that's where the virtual reality comes in, I'm sure. Walk us through a sort of a scenario. We've got our goggles on, we're ready to play. Rick, what are we going to see?
So we run you through a data visualization at first of what unconscious bias is, and then we put you in a scenario where you embody someone else. We put you in, for example, one of our scenarios is around gender, and some scenarios that someone in that area of gender might face in the workplace. So you see yourself in a mirror, you're looking out of an office, and you are a minority, and you're a woman, and we give you context on this meeting that's upcoming, and then you go into a meeting and you interact, and you get excluded, and certain things happens based on research we've done of common things, like someone assumes that you might be a janitor or maybe a secretary and to get a coffee and other things like that being excluded from decision-making processes. And just to evoke that sort of feeling of, this is what it feels like. It's a creative way to, address the issue in an unconfrontational way.
Well, a tremendously powerful thing, and a thing that we've never in our history had the capacity to really inhabit that other person's space.
That's completely correct. Virtual reality can be used for a lot of things like gaming, and we were really passionate we think this is the best use for this technology. We think it's...
Normally you shoot people. This is kind of taking another approach to that.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. It's a very, very powerful platform. It's been described as, an empathy tool, an empathy machine even. And if things are done in the right way, you can really give people a very unique experience and teach them things that they probably couldn't have learnt in this sort of way before.
Now, Simon, in part of your role with the Aging Revolution, you've teamed up with Rick here and looking at this technology to apply it to attitudes towards aging in the workplace.
Absolutely.
That has tremendous potential.
Well, I think... Hi, Rick, by the way.
Hey,
Simon. We were introduced probably 4 or 5 months ago, and... So the Aging Revolution was looking at how we can change perceptions of aging, and not just of the younger generation, but also people who are aging themselves. We found that ageism is rife across the board. And like Rick says, using virtual reality as an empathy tool, we think we can actually start trying to overcome some of the unconscious bias that happens in the workplace for an aging population. One of the biggest problems we found when we did our cross-Australia road trip was that if you're over 50, over 45 now actually, you're actually considered an older worker. And so we wanted to use virtual reality to increase the understanding about how important diversity is and actually look at aging from a positive mindset rather than one of sort of negativity.
Rick, when you were sort of factoring this in, I mean, what sort of things did you start to play with in terms of attitude around older people?
Well, I mean, we started with gender just because one of our founders who really sort of pushed this idea along, she faced a lot of adversity around bias in the workplace in Silicon Valley as an engineer, and she just really wanted to And we started talking to those involved in this diversity and inclusion space, and we started seeing that, well, you know, diversity and inclusion is not just gender. It's far, far greater than that. It's around disability. It's around, you know, age. It's around, you know, diversity of thought. We met Simon and Leonie, and we were on the same mission at the end of the day, and we really liked what they were about, and we thought let's try and work something out here and create a partnership, and maybe we can integrate some sort of aging scenarios and aging learning around discrimination within what we're doing.
And Simon, some of the discrimination around age is surprising. It's not necessarily just about younger workers and older workers. It can be older workers and older workers as well.
Ageism as an entity is quite an interesting ism, because it's almost your future self. Isms are normally someone who's different gender or different race, but ageism is prejudicing against your future self if you are. And when we set out, we thought we wanted to change the perceptions of younger people towards older people and bring people together. But what we actually found is what you said is, we often preclude ourselves from certain activities or thoughts or jobs because we self-limit, because we're told that at a certain age we can't do something or we shouldn't be doing something. And so the other reason virtual reality is great is because it can actually show you that you can do something. And we've actually, the aging revolution has been trying to find people who break that stereotype and break that mold to try and convince business and companies and creative industries that you just get more creative and better the older you get. And it shouldn't be, we need to have an inclusive workforce, not an exclusive one.
That idea, Rick, of inclusivity, I mean, and you went through some of the areas in which diversity is an issue or in which diversity might be expanded. Once you start to look at that, and I guess I say this from a perspective of white male, late middle-aged privilege, you know, and that view of the world is one which determines so much in our workplaces. To get away from that, to acknowledge the range of that there is in other people, such a big job. And this is such a powerful tool.
Yeah, absolutely. It is a big job, like you mentioned, and also around this topic, you know, words like privilege and sometimes trigger people, and it's not about, you know, making people feel bad about these things. It's about, you know, recognizing that we all have biases and that we can exclude others because of these. And it's about starting this discussion and maybe maturing it to just beyond gender, and even age and disability, to start thinking about, you know, inclusion of diversity of thought, you know, those from different backgrounds or maybe, you know, think in a different way, maybe.
How typically do people respond once they've been through this exercise? It must be a real eye-opener in many cases.
Yeah, that's a good question. we've had some really interesting reactions that we didn't expect. One of the powerful things about virtual reality is, you know, you get to really highlight things that can be different. For example, we get really strong reactions in our gender scenario from women because they recognize it. And some of them have come out nearly, you know, really enraged or that recognized it was a really powerful sort of impact. And funnily enough, one of the most powerful and disturbing things for a lot of tall males has been that we put everyone to the same height. So you look up in this conversation at other people and it just really, really does something funny to people's brains when they come out of it and when they see the world from a different viewpoint, you know.
I can vouch for that. it's quite a phenomenal feeling being someone else for a 5-minute period.
The other side of this for a workplace, I mean, the issues around productivity, around better relationships in that workplace. I mean, are they tangible? Do we know what the outcomes can be?
There's been some really interesting studies about how the greater the diversity of a company, and especially at a board level, the more successful a company can be. So I think one of the issues with aging, and obviously what Rick's doing as well, is it's not something that just companies should be using because it's nice. It actually will help improve their productivity. It will improve the workplace, and it will make them design better products and services for the people they're trying to design for. So I think that's probably one of the best things about virtual reality is it can start bringing people together.
And I guess at the end of the day, Rick, if it has those sorts of outcomes, that's what's going to drive it. I mean, niceness will take you so far, the potential for greater profit, that will take you even further.
Absolutely. Deloitte Burson did a study that showed that, you know, those companies in 500, I think it's S&P 500, the ones that had the best diversity scores, you know, were 170% more higher revenue. So, wow. And also, I was talking to a professor up at QUT recently, and he did a study around what makes innovation happen and what makes companies that are more innovative, what's the key factor? And they did sort of a correlation or a test, and they found the most, the greatest factor in terms of innovation is diversity of thought. So that is the single greatest thing in round innovation and generating innovation, which is really important, especially in a changing economy and a changing market.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So what extraordinary thing. Look, there we go. For the first time in human history, it is potentially possible to walk a mile in someone else's shoes, or at least in a virtual sense. Thank you both.